Happy Thanksgiving. How are you guys doing today? You notice anything different about me? I got a Thanksgiving haircut. That's right, and I'm thankful too. You know why? My barber did not charge me a dime. No, my wife Teresa, she's very good about that around the holidays. Doesn't charge me anything. And so I'm very happy about that. Just feel 20 years younger. I think I lost about 10 pounds just right there. So in 1942, the world was at war. Midway through World War II, if you will, a loss of 60 million people during that period of time, 1939 to 1945. And Norman Rockwell, Thanksgiving, 1942, he drew this, or painted this painting. And what it was a nostalgic piece. It was a period of reminiscing, a time of looking back, a time before food rationing, a time before families were completely ripped apart by the war. This concept of remember when. And couldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could get back there? Because 1942 was nothing like that. And for many of us, holidays are exactly that. They're a time of nostalgia, a time of reminiscing. Do you remember when Dad was still here? Do you remember when the family was all together? Do you remember back then? For many of us, that's exactly what holidays are like. For others, of course, we're at the perfect time right now. We're just absolutely going from strength to strength and everything. It couldn't be better. So we have so much to be thankful for. But I got to tell you, the reality is that most of us live through hilltops and valleys. We're up and we're down. Just because everything is fantastic today doesn't mean it's going to be fantastic tomorrow. And most of us don't just go from strength to strength to strength all our life. But we struggle. We have issues. And in fact, I got to promise you this. If you live long enough, you will experience loss. You will experience loss. This week in my wife's family, the Taves family, is a difficult week because we're trying to prepare for Thanksgiving, and yet two of her sister-in-laws were going in this very week for major surgery. One of them was having neurosurgery on her brain stem to remove a tumor. So how do you get excited about, how do you prepare for a big family Thanksgiving with two family members in the hospital? It's difficult. But we were so thankful when we got news that actually both surgeries went remarkably well. And here's the amazing thing, both of them are going to come to the family Thanksgiving. So it's pretty amazing news. Along the way, though, I think my wife was trying, she's hosting it, trying to, well, I guess we're hosting it. Oh, I've been working hard. So she's trying, I think, lighten the mood. I think she's planning for a pirate-themed Thanksgiving, you know, to sort of lift everyone's spirit. At least that's what her text looked like to me. She sent this out. She told the people that were bringing food, you know, that she told the hospital patients, I told them, I'll not be worried about bringing anything. I don't know. That's my interpretation of it. Maybe it won't be pirate-themed after all. But I like that text that I got. In the midst of this family sort of crisis, it was a crisis, and people in the hospital, and man, have a brain tumor. Like, that's serious business. Not be worried. Not be worried. I think that's an important theme. Regardless of whether we are on the mountaintop right now, experience incredible joy, everything's fantastic, or if we're down in the valley. And I think to myself, what would our family have done if the news was bad? If things had gone poorly? What would we have to be thankful for? And so this morning, I want to talk about our focus at Thanksgiving. And we want to look at a passage of Scripture. It's an amazing passage of Scripture. And I think it's one, actually, that in the history of the meeting place, and I've been here since I had a full head of hair, I don't think this passage ever been taught. It's what we call the Transfiguration. It's an amazing, impossible story. But I want to look at it specifically, how Peter, Jesus' buddy, is in the middle of this thing trying to lock it down. He's having this mountaintop experience, and he doesn't want to let go. Just like Norman Rockwell wanted to look back and say, man, there was a great time when. And wouldn't it be good if we could get back on that mountaintop. So many of us, with our hills and valleys, we have such a hard time with the loss. And we look forward, we cling to, we want to hang on to the mountaintop and be thankful for that experience. In Matthew, in chapter 17, we read this. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. It's just the four of them. There he was transfigured before them. This is the freaky part. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as light. It's something literally out of this world. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Whoa, it's like this incredible thing. This is a mountaintop experience. This is a supernatural high. It is amazing. And our friend Peter, he's thinking to himself, I have never seen anything like this before, and I probably never will. This is amazing. Let's lock it down. Let's freeze frame. We got to stay here on the mountain. I'm having a great time, and I want to be here forever. Sometimes we're like that. Maybe as we leave this past summer, we look back and say, man, that summer was awesome. I had a great time. You know, I had a great time maybe in relationship with family and friends, such amazing times. In Winnipeg, we're so thankful somewhere the mosquitoes went. They didn't show up. We think they might never come back. And yet, we're thinking next year they could be here again. We don't want to go on. We don't want to go on. Some of us, the exact opposite. We don't want to go on, but not because it was great. Because we want to go back. Like Norman Rockwell, we want to go back. We've had a tough summer. We've had a tough fall. Maybe we've experienced loss. Loss of relationship. Loss of friendship. Maybe loss of a dear family friend. We don't know how we can go on. We don't know how we can go forward. Whether you're at a mountaintop or a valley, it can be difficult to look to the future. It can be difficult to look forward. And if we're having the time of our lives, man, we want to hang on to that, don't we? Just hang on. And that's what Peter wants to do. Peter comes up with, I think, one of the wackiest things in the whole Bible. You got to know Peter. The guy's a fisherman, really good at catching fish. But for some reason, this has got nothing to do. There are no fish up at the mountain. That's the thing, though, it is in a mountaintop. And he says this. Here's what he says in verse 4. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. This is the best. I love it here. This is fantastic here. I've never been in a place like this in a time like this. I've never experienced this intimacy, this supernatural shining thing. It's amazing. Let's hang on to this forever. It is good for us to be here. And so here's this great suggestion, how to lock it down. Here's the secret, how to lock down mountaintop experiences in our lives. Not. But here's what he says. It's just weird. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. I'll build you some little houses. I'm a fisherman, but all of a sudden I'm becoming a builder. He's up at the top of the mountain. Where is he going to get the stuff to build it from? I don't know what it's going to look like. Who knows? But the whole, it's just weird and wacky. It says in some of the other Gospels that Peter said this because he was so frightened and amazed by what's going on, he didn't know what else to say. He just bumbled out words, which our buddy Peter is prone to do. And he says, let me build you something here. I'll build you a shelter. It'll be awesome. We'll never leave this mountain. We'll never leave this mountain. You ever have experiences like that? When things are good, when things are really good, good with your friends, good with your family, there's a closeness, there's a connection, and you don't want to let go. You don't want to move on. You want to just lock it right down. And maybe because you know that life is not always a mountaintop, and you're just thinking, you know what, this is great, but it can't last. Something tragic, something horrible is going to happen. Maybe I'm just going to say something stupid that my wife's now going to realize that I'm an idiot and the great moment's going to be gone. Who knows? Who knows what it is? But we like to hang on to the good times, and often we're fearful of the future. We worry. We worry. What's next? What's around the corner? We like to be in a situation where we control, or at least we think that we control. We're comfortable. We know what's going on. So we want to make it last. We want to make it stay. And when we think about the future, for some of us, it's a source of fear. It's a source of worry. Do you know the amazing thing is Jesus died on the cross and conquered death, not just to free us from sin. Jesus died on the cross and gave us life so that we can be free from worry and free from fear. Not be worry. Arr. Jesus is in the business of touching us, not just when we are on the mountaintop, but when we are down in the valley. And yet we like to control, if we can. We like to think that we can set up our circumstances. We can control these things. And Peter was exactly that way. His little grasp for control was just weird. Mine might be weirder, I don't know, but his was, listen, I'll build you 3 shelters here. But he was about to get a kick in the pants from the Almighty. Because it says in verse 5, while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. Listen to him. He says, listen. Be focused on Jesus. The focus is Jesus Christ. It's not on the mountaintop experience. It's not on the valley. It's not on what you're going through. You cannot lock this down. It is Jesus Christ that has to be at the center, and Jesus alone. Listen to him. Listen to him. You'd think that that might be enlightening for Peter, but it's the response is something completely different. When the disciples heard this in verse 6, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. They were terrified. They're literally going from this mountaintop right down into the gutter in like a heartbeat. They're thinking, Peter's thinking, this is great. This is amazing. I can box this. I can control this. I'm going to be here forever. And then God grabs him by the scruff of the neck and shakes him and says, listen, man, you are not in charge. I am. You are not in control. Peter's got these great plans. He's going to build this thing. He's going to do, all of a sudden, bam! He realizes that he is not in control. That is a terrifying thing for each of us. It is terrifying when you realize you do not control the number of your days. You do not really control your health. Good to eat healthy, good to exercise, good to all those things. You don't control it. You don't control the health of your loved ones, your family. Those that gather around the Thanksgiving table. We think, man, I got a good job. I got a good spouse. I got good friends. Everything's going to last like this forever. You do not control that. Each day is a gift from God. And you are not God. He is. And it is a terrifying thing to stand in the light of the Almighty when we realize that, when we get that into the core of our being, we are not in control. Whether that happens with something fantastic, something amazing, you just say, look, I didn't orchestrate that. I didn't do that. Something else is going on here. Or whether we realize we're not in control because of something tragic, something horrible, like a loss. Jesus calls to us on the mountaintop, and he calls to us in the valleys. Jesus comes to give life and love so that we in turn can love him and share his love with each other, pouring out for others, not in a selfish way, but a selfless way. In spite of the loss, through the valleys, and through the mountaintops. And you know, the amazing thing is, that God does not abandon us when we are face down and terrified in life circumstances. God does not abandon us. The passage goes on, and it says this, that while the disciples were face down, terrified in the ground, Jesus came. He came. He walked towards them. He didn't wait for them to get up, to muster the courage, to deal with life's circumstance. He came to them. The God of the universe in Christ Jesus comes to you and he comes to me when we're face down in the mud and terrified. And the next part is just so powerful. Jesus came and he touched them. He touched them. I love that because Jesus only had two hands. There were three guys. Three guys. He had to deliberately touch them like he wants to touch me, like he wants to touch you. Jesus does not abandon us. He comes to us and touches us. The next verse is the point of the whole story. Man, we're going through highs and we're going through lows. What are we supposed to be looking at? What are we focused on? Are we focused on the good times and everything's good and great and that's what we're thankful for? I got a good job. I got a good spouse. I got this and that. Everything's great. Is that what we're focused on? Or the bad times? Man, things are rough. They couldn't be worse. It's horrible. Is that what I'm focused on? What am I looking at? What am I looking at? Verse 8. When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. No one except Jesus. This Thanksgiving, this day and every day, we have a choice to make. Do we want to see the mountaintops and try to cling to that and build some shelter and try to hang on to time, freeze frame life? Do we want to play in the rewind like Norman Rockwell and get back to the good times? We live in fear and worry about the valley that's ahead? Or do we want to see no one except Jesus? There is a Thanksgiving table. It is not a table of plenty. And yet, it's a table of everything. Jesus invites us all. If you love Jesus, or if you wish to turn your life over to Jesus today for the very first time, we invite you to the table. I'm going to invite you in a few minutes to join us. It's not a matter of pressure or coercion. It's a matter of choice. Who do you see? What are you looking at? And so in a couple minutes, we're going to set up stations, and there'll be one at the front and some at the back and those up there as well. There is gluten-free on the side. We're going to have a time of worship. This is not a race. Let's take our time. We've got three songs. If you do not know Jesus, and if you're here today, just checking him out. You want to check out the claims of Christ. Please, do not feel any pressure. Stay in your seat and explore his love. But for those of us that love Jesus, for those of us that want to turn to him today, I invite you to the greatest Thanksgiving table of all time. Because I want to tell you, there is no Thanksgiving meal more meaningful than the one that Jesus had with his disciples just before he gave his life for you and for me. We read in Matthew 26 and verse 26 that while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to invite you to participate. And we'd like to use the middle aisle to come and the side aisles to go. And you can find a station. You don't have to wait in a queue forever. Don't feel that you got to race away. Take time before God to celebrate this Thanksgiving. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you for the gift of our Lord Jesus Christ. His body broken, his blood shed, so that we might have life, and life abundantly. Not just life on the mountaintop, but life in the valley. Life through ups and downs. Because of your sacrifice. Your gift. Because you are the risen Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.